Chapman. Ground ball to short. Addison Russell. The Cubs have evened the series. A 5-1 win in a 4-hour, 4-minute game. And Arrieta beats Bauer. And the Cubs beat the Indians.
Yes.
Back to True Blue Playoff Plus from Wintrust, home of Cubs checking on 720 WGN.
For a game that everybody wanted to go fast to beat the rain in Cleveland, they put a 4-hour doozy on the field. A lot of two-out pitching changes and walk-ups to the mound. It really did feel like both managers did their best to extend this game. In studio with me, Mark Carmen, Andy Mazur, and, of course, Adam Hogue. Let's talk about Jake Arrieta tonight. Let's start there. At the first inning, he felt a little wild. It was almost a repeat of last night where we saw two outs, and then he started to lose a little bit of control. He started to see a little bit of a flashback.
Too many pitches, yeah. Bottom line. 98 pitches through 5 2/3. I mean, the no-hitter was in play, but there was no way he was going to make it to the finish line, right?
No. So, well, let's talk about this first inning, though. It very easily could have been 3-0 Indians, and this
easily.
Entire yep. game is different. He totally lost his control there. He walks Lindor, he walks Napoli, and Jose Ramirez comes up and puts one to the warning track. He just missed that ball.
Yep.
And if that's over the wall, it's 3-0 Indians. Arrieta's a mess. We're talking about maybe the Cubs come back and win, but we're talking about a completely different situation the rest of the series because Arrieta didn't have the good game that he needed to have tonight.
But he found a way yeah. through it. He had a bumpy start, but no hitter through 5 innings. Pulled with 5 2/3. He gives up an earned run through it, but really a great performance from Jake Arrieta from that point on.
And I give Joe Maddon a ton of credit too, or at least some credit for saying, you know what. Miguel Montero, you're not starting tonight.
Nope.
We're going Wilson yeah. Contreras. They've stolen 26 out of 29 bases with you back there, and the Indians love to run. And the way the game went tonight, I don't know if they would have run a ton, but that was the right decision all day, even though Contreras didn't have a hit 0-for-3, but he did have a couple of walks.
Mm-hmm. But Arrieta doesn't deserve his own personal catcher.
Exactly.
Anymore. No, not yet.
Exactly.
Not yet.
So I thought that was the right call, and Arrieta. And I thought that Wilson Contreras...
I thought he called a good game.
Yeah, and I thought his pitch framing was fine. I mean, that guy works as hard as he possibly can back there, so I give him credit.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a lot. There's always a lot about Wilson Contreras and his defense and calling games. But you think, Andy, he did a good job tonight?
I thought nursed Jake through. I really do. You know, and there's not a lot of young catchers that are going to run out there and interrupt and talk to Jake like he did, which I think is great that he feels. That in control. I also tweeted later in the game that I think the breakup of the no-hitter might have been the best thing that ever happened because Jake was not going to finish the game. Jake was not going to be in contention to get a no-hitter.
Them trying to get there.
Yeah, and this takes all the pressure off of Joe Maddon to come out there and get him. It was time to get him, and he made the right call in going to Montgomery, who has been a friend of mine in Seattle texted me today. Stud. I mean, it's just the way he's been during the postseason.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying it's a game changer. He threw 40 pitches tonight in 2 innings, struck out 4. I mean, gave a couple hits, walked 1. ERA.
But he got the job done.
I mean, he was solid.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk. I'm interested in your guys' take on the strategy of the starting lineup for the Cubs. We see Jorge Soler tonight for the first time, a righty against Trevor Bauer, who's a right-handed pitcher. We don't see Jason Hayward. What do you think of the game 2 lineup coming into the game?
Well, it's amazing that with as much firepower as this roster does and depth offensively, a theme throughout the entire playoff so far has been a hole in the outfield.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily defensively, but with that last bat in your lineup every day, and that's still a problem. And the Cubs have gotten to where they are despite having that problem because the rest of the lineup is so good and has picked it up. But right now, you got Jorge Soler and Jason Hayward as probably your top two offensive weapons in right field, and neither one of them can hit. I mean, Soler gets the start tonight over Hayward, does nothing. Well, he did get the walk, and then Hayward came in the pinch run, but that's it. So I think that's why this conversation about Schwarber becomes what it is, because if you're going to put Soler out there for Hayward anyway and be able to sacrifice that defense, then how much – are you giving up if you just have Schwarber do it? Because he's at least going to hit.
Right. It's a huge – but you're – I mean, I don't know.
Well, the big question is just about medical clearance. I mean, is he cleared to play the field?
No.
I mean, are they –
no. At this point, no.
So far, no. We'll hear what Joe Maddon says tonight. And
we're waiting on that press conference, but yeah.
I think we learned from Jay Cutler getting cleared miraculously at the exact same time that Brian Hoyer breaks his arm, that people can be cleared when they need to be cleared. Mm-hmm. Come on. This is professional sports, and the doctors work for you.
They're paid by the same guys that Schwarber's paid by.
Well, and let's be realistic about this. If the guy can get in the batter's box and face a 95-mile-an-hour fastball
and run the bases, that's the big key, you know, be able to turn the corner.
Right. He can go stand out in left field and give it his all, which, by the way, the guy standing next to him in center field, that would help if he got going because that would be a game changer too. And the other thing is, if it's Schwarber, whoever is going to – they are just dying for somebody to step up and take that spot, be it Soler,
yep,
and, or Coughlin, you got a shot. I mean, there's – Jason Hayward, you want to come back from the dead? Somebody
– here's the thing, though. You could look at it the other way, and Joe Maddon could say, well, we've gotten this far.
With what we've got.
Now, you also putting a pitcher back in the lineup, so that's a factor too. That's why I would kind of like to keep Schwarber, but you can – You can still keep it with this defensive lineup because you're still winning.
Joe Maddon taking the stage right now for the post-game press conference. Let's
and then
in.
Probably did permit Jake to, I want to, maybe the improper word is to relax, but he got settled in better. Overall, I mean, he had great stuff. His command a little bit scattered at times, but he kept battling through, didn't give up any hits. Finally, was it like 96 or 98 pitches by the time I took him out? I think a lot of it, he just had a hard time gripping the baseball. It was kind of difficult with that, but great stuff. Great stuff. I thought Wilson did a really good job with him tonight also. I thought they worked well together. But scoring first is always something you want to do.
And over here on the right aisle?
Yes, sir.
Joe, you've addressed this a few times, I think, but what are the chances that Schwarber will be able to play left field in Game 3? And, you know, will tomorrow help determine that at all? Is that one day making a difference, or where are you guys at with that?
That's going to be what the doctors tell us. I have no idea. We're going to go back. We have a mandatory workout tomorrow, so we're going to be at the ballpark. If it's okay, possibly you might see him taking some fly balls if there's any chance at all. But I honestly don't know. That's something I'm waiting to hear from our guys, from our medical side, because obviously he looks good. Looks good at the plate. I'm running the bases. He looks pretty good so far. I talked to him there before his last at-bat. I asked him if he got on base, if he was good to go, and he said yes. I said, okay, fine. I mean, good to go as far as running. I said, just make sure you stay smart with it. And there's nothing about watching him that tells me that he's inhibited right now.
And right up the straight on the left aisle.
Joe, speaking of Schwarber again, what has his presence in the middle of your lineup done for the rest of the guys?
You saw he's jacks everybody up. Those couple big hits he got again really – Rizzo really responded to it well. The whole group did. It makes your lineup longer, makes it thicker, makes it better. Zobrist is seeing better pitches right now, all because of that too, I believe. So we knew what it would be like all year long. We didn't have it, and now we're going to have it in a short spurt right now, and it's kind of fun. It's a great weapon to have. You see how he's taking pitches that are just borderline. I don't even know if that last pitch was a strike or not, but he's really seeing the ball well, and that's the part. That's probably the most amazing part. I mean, hitting the ball is one thing, but you could see that he's not jumpy. He's seeing borderline pitches, staying off him ball. He's not check swinging and offering. That's the part that's really impressive to me.
And over to the right, Ken.
Okay. Joe, Schwarber again. I mean, you've been in the game a long time. Does any comparable come to mind to this guy not playing from April 7th to October 25th and performing at the level he is?
No. I mean, I've seen guys come back from injuries during the season, but they've gone through rehab and they didn't have that severe of an injury to come back and play that. Well, I don't think there's any real comp for it. I don't. Nothing that I've seen. I'm just going through the mental Rolodex right now. I don't think I've seen that. Carl CC came back from a pretty good injury in 2008 to get to the World. We actually played a game at the Trop for him. To make sure everything was fine. I can't remember, something with his leg was pretty, I think it was hand, maybe it was hand, was pretty bad. And so we had to go through that. But to blow up your knee, you know, and then to come back, that really speaks to the surgeon, too, the doctor. I mean, that's quite a job that this guy did to get him back on his feet. And then the rehab part of it. I mean, I get to watch it all the time because our clubhouse permits it. He's insatiable with his work. He just is, and our training staff has done a great job. So there's a lot of people that have helped this cause, but he's a different cat. He absolutely is.
And over here to the left.
Joe, you had six players tonight under 25. How easy is it to forget that they're that young and maybe take them for granted with how good they are?
Yeah, there might be moments in the game, particularly at the plate, where you see it. You know, they might get a little bit out of control on occasion at the plate. But in the field, they've been outstanding, whether it's Javi. And I thought Wilson made some really pertinent trips to the mound today. Really well-timed, good trips to discuss strategy with the pitcher. I was really impressed with that. You're right. I don't, like, really think about these guys are that young. Addison really swung the bat well again tonight. Up and down, I don't focus on that. I mean, when before the game I heard that, and, of course, I realized that. But game in progress, you're so able to speak with them. And if you need to make any adjustments, they can hear you. They can slow it down to the point where they can hear you. So, again, this is 2016 moving forward. As they've gained this experience from this season and a World Series experience, they're going to keep getting better. These kids are going to get better. They're scratching the surface of how good they can be.
And over here to the left again, Richard.
Joe, this is when you're at your best, grinding out long at bats, getting on bases other than hits. And the other thing I wanted to ask you about is a World Series game in Wrigley Field. What do you think it's going to be like?
Well, the at-bats, I mean, was it 3 2/3 when we got Bauer out of there with 87 pitches? That always concerns me because we only had, like, what, 2 runs at the time? We've done that often this year. We left a lot of guys on base, and I don't want to stand here and moan or groan about anything, but we see pitches, we grind out at-bats. The one thing that would really get us over the top the rest of this series as we do that, finish it off, score a couple runs there to make it somewhat easier in the latter part of the game, but we've done that often this year. That's what we do. We see pitches, even like last night. Like I said, I think we saw 151 pitches last night. Normally, when you see 151 pitches, you score several runs. You don't get shut out. So I liked the at-bats last night, and they continue tonight. Wrigley, it's going to be, it's always good. It's always crazy good, but I'd have to imagine a little bit more than that, especially coming back at 1-1. I think the folks would be jacked up about the win tonight, but it is. It's the finest venue there is in professional sports and maybe in all of sports. I really, when I stand there in that corner, you haven't been around, but you look up and you see that last seat in that farthest corner is always filled. On a Monday at 1 o'clock, it'll be filled. So our fans are all of that, but now having a World Series to root for, it's going to be incredibly special.
And over to the far right standing, Mike.
Yes, sir. It wasn't crossing my mind at all until, gosh, I don't know the exact date. It was right while we're playing the Dodgers. We're in Los Angeles. We were in L.A., and I can't remember exactly. Probably it was Theo came to me and said that he's been cleared to hit by the doctor. And we didn't even ask. The doctor said it to us. And so he's cleared to hit. Good. So let's go. We hit him a little bit in the cage there in L.A. in that small clubhouse there. And then, okay, we have some games. We could send him down to Arizona, have him get involved in the Arizona Fall. We set up something up at the complex to have a pitcher, an actual pitcher that's good stuff, throw to him. And then, of course, he went above and beyond by tracking pitches up against the pitching machine and getting his hands all bloody and all that good stuff. So I don't know. There might have been a week ago, something like that. Maybe it wasn't more than a week to 10 days at the most. And I'm here to tell you, it wasn't on my radar screen at all because I was told that I kept encouraging him for next year. We were not expecting him to be ready for the playoffs right now.
Okay, we'll take 2 more for Joe. We've got Jake Arrieta here all the way in the back right.
Joe, the Cleveland hitters did a lot of
stepping
out of the box and calling time.
Yeah.
What was your thoughts on that?
Well, that's just gamesmanship. I mean, when you do a scouting report, everybody's going to attempt to try to do something to disrupt the flow. Hitting is timing, pitching is the upsetting of timing, and it's almost working in reverse where they're trying to upset the pitcher's timing. I have no problem with it. I mean, I don't even see it half the time. I get so engrossed in what I'm doing. I don't know if you're talking from a timing of the game perspective or you're talking from purely an annoying perspective from the other side. I don't know where you're coming from on that, but for me, that's gamesmanship, and that's been part of the game forever.
And last one here in the middle left.
I know you're deferring to the doctors when it comes to Kyle and the field and that kind of thing, but yourself, when you do get a chance to maybe see him catch fly balls and that kind of thing tomorrow. What are the types of things that you're looking for to see if he can get out?
I have total faith that he can. I'm not even concerned about that. My concern is what the doctor does say regarding lateral movement, quick stops, abrupt stops, change of direction. Those are the kind of things I don't know anything about. I am certain that if he went out there with a fungo and hit him fly balls, he's going to look somewhat normal going after the fly balls, absolutely. But then I don't know the biological component of this where I don't even attempt to try to get involved with that. That's exactly what I'm talking about. So I assume or would assume that he's going to look normal. But what does the doctor say?
Thank you, Joe.
You got it.
And Jake.
All right, there we go. Joe Madden, post-game press conference in Cleveland. It is time for True Blue Playoff Plus, brought to you by Wintrust, Home of Cubs Checking, and Sloan Water Connects Us. Also, the news break there was sponsored by Natron's Healthy Trinity. In studio with me, Adam Hoge, Andy Mazur, Mark Carman. What do we think of Joe Madden and his thoughts about Kyle Schwarber and the rest?
He wants him out there.
He does.
I can tell, man. He wants him out there so badly. But again, you know, you have to put the you got to put the onus on the doctors, because at the end of the day, you know, you don't want to screw this kid up if there's something, you know, that could prevent him from, like Joe just said, moving laterally, making the sudden stuff. But, you know, I contend, you know, if you can run the bases and you can turn and you can cut and you can swing at a 95-mile-an-hour fastball, your knee's probably in pretty decent shape to, at least, as you said, Mark, to stand out there and catch some fly balls.
When's the last time the Cubs won the World Series?
That would be 19-0.
Yeah, hey,
so some doctors are going to prevent Kyle Schwarber from being in the lineup for Game 3 of the World Series.
Can I play a little bit of devil's advocate? He's a terrible defender, and he's going to be worse with a limited knee. I mean, do you worry about the defensive liability? We saw that New York Series last year, you guys, where it was like, what is he doing out there?
I mean, I'm not comfortable with him in left field. And I also think you're playing with his career to a point. I mean, what happens if he blows out his knee again? I guess you can have surgery. There's good medical people out there nowadays. He'll probably be fine, but you're asking an awful lot.
You are.
And listen, it ain't like they have had a problem scoring runs all season long. Put Contreras in the outfield or whatever. Catch Contreras. Go with Zobrist in left and pray for somebody. I don't know who I would start in right. I'd have to look at all the numbers, and I guess I don't know how many times any of them face just Tom. Okay, but if you'll stay, then who are you going to put in left?
Well, I'm saying you're talking about Contreras playing left.
No, okay, I got Contreras behind the plate. He's going to catch Hendricks. Yeah. Okay, so what are you going to do left, right? Your options are
Jason Hayward or Jorge Soler.
Yeah, those are not very good options.
Well, I mean, Jason Hayward signed to a monster contract. I know it doesn't matter at this point, but don't you say that Jason Hayward has experience? Put him out there, let him do what he did all year. He sort of be a liability offensively, but lock down right field.
The Red Sox had Manny Ramirez in left field. That guy was horrendous.
A butcher.
You can live with Schwarber in left field on Friday night. With Zobrist in right field.
You're such the football reporter. He can get out there. Get out there.
It's fine.
Hey, and you
take
know what?
A needle.
I don't know if it's fine.
He's not going to have to worry about weather. It's going to be 68 degrees outside.
Right?
So, I mean, that's not a concern of that.
Andy Mazur, Mark Carman, Adam Hogan, Studio, True Blue Playoff Plus, brought to you by Wintrust, Home of Cubs Checking, and Sloan Water Connects Us. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. More on the Cubs win in Cleveland.
He does, and a base hit. Here comes Rizzo. No throw to the plate. Schwarber's delivered 2-0.
No doubt about it.
Best Cubs postgame show. Back to True Blue Playoff Plus. Brought to you by Wintrust, the home of Cubs checking on 720 WGN.
I'm Justin Kaufman. With it's 11 o'clock. In studio with me, of course, we've got Andy Mazur, Adam Hoge, Mark Carman. Okay, so let's talk about this. I mean, the great question in the Joe Madden press conference about Wrigley Field and the idea of a World Series game coming back to Wrigley Field, what's going to be like? He gave the right answer. But, I mean, we are 1-1. Cubs fans have their sights on ending this thing by Sunday.
I mean, why not? Let's just win 3 in a row and call it a lifetime. I mean, somebody will kick the old Kansky. If they did that at about 11 o'clock on Sunday night, might as well just, like, jump off the top of Wrigley. Like, I saw it. Thank you. I'm out.
Good night, everybody.
I mean, you guys are the experts. I mean, the Cleveland Indians have had a great run here in the postseason. They've played well on the road. That's something that they did. They beat Toronto in Toronto. Do the Indians play well on the road when their backs are against the wall?
Yeah, they only lost one game in the entire playoffs coming into today. This is only their second loss. This is Terry Francona's first ever loss as a manager in a World Series game. I'll put that into perspective, too, with a couple of sweeps with Boston. But, you know, this Indians team hasn't played this Cubs team at Wrigley Field, especially with a guy like Kyle Hendricks going to the mound as good as he has been at Wrigley Field. The conditions are going to be good for both clubs. I don't see the Indians winning game three. That's just me.
41-39, Cleveland was on the road this year. So that was significantly down from how they played at home. I don't think it makes a huge difference home field in the baseball playoffs. I mean, it's a factor. You'd rather bat last, all that. But I don't think it's like, oh, my God, we're playing in Wrigley. We're going to be super intimidated.
No.
Maybe it goes the other way, though, that the Chicago Cubs get hyped up and get energized. These kids get energized. They know how to play at home, and they know how to turn it on, especially to energize the fan base.
I mean, they're three away right now. They're three away. There's no lack of confidence going on with the men in blue.
Didn't we see tonight who the better team in the series is? I mean, you remove Kluber out of the situation. You didn't see Andrew Miller tonight. And the Cubs, not only did they win comfortably, but they also left 13 guys on base tonight.
Yeah, could have been a whitewash.
They were walking. They were hitting. This should have been a complete blowout. So the Cubs can actually even play better than they did tonight. And that's why I like their chances Friday night. And then, you know, Kluber's going to come back game four. That changes things. So that's the only reason why I would say probably not going to end at Wrigley this weekend. But
I can't rule it out. Corey Kluber is had tremendous performance, but not unlike Clayton Kershaw. I follow the White Sox. I've seen Corey Kluber all season long. He's been up and he's been down. Mm-hmm. He has not been anywhere near as dominant as a Clayton Kershaw. You saw what the Cubs did to Clayton Kershaw at Wrigley Field after they saw him one time before. I don't know if it's a sure thing that Corey Kluber shuts the Cubs down again.
Agreed. I think they will adjust, but that guy was...
Short rest. Anything can happen on short rest.
Yeah. He was, like, in the Kershaw start, they had him at 30 pitches. In the second inning, they had opportunities. In the Kluber start, I mean, he gave up a double to Zobrist, and there were moments.
There was a couple moments, yeah.
But it wasn't the same field. This guy was nails.
He was hitting the spots.
So come Friday, as we said, Kyle Hendricks at home, lights out. This is his place. Josh Tomlin. He's been in the Cleveland organization for a while. He's had a pretty great postseason. His ERA under 3, but not a guy that strikes fear into an opponent's heart when you say Josh Tomlin's on the mound.
No, and you know, and again, the thing that Terry Francona is preaching to these starters is give me four. Give me 3 2/3 innings like tonight so I can get into the bullpen. If we have a lead, they're not going to score again on us.
But that's the key. You got to get the lead if you're the Cubs.
I was going to ask. I mean, if you are the Cubs, I mean, Miller doesn't see the light of he doesn't see innings if they're down 2-0, 3-0, right?
Yeah, you see the other side of the Indians bullpen, which we saw tonight, which is the good side if you're a Cubs fan.
I consider this a must win game on Friday night because you lose that game, you're staring at possibly being down 3-1 with Kluber going.
Agreed.
In game four.
Tomlin's an interesting story too. I agree with you. You absolutely have to win
just because of the matchup. Mm-hmm. Hendricks should beat Tomlin.
Tomlin, just for people wanting to get a little context of what's going on off the field in the world, his father, 2 months in the hospital this year, very serious spinal cord issue called arteriovenous malfunction, whatever. The guy, he doesn't have feeling in his legs. He's they're texting back and forth. So there's going to be a lot of stories around Josh Tomlin. On the field, Josh Tomlin is your standard pitch-to-contact guy. The Cubs will have a ton of balls in play. By the way, the Indians aren't playing very good defense
now, too. Josh Tomlin was, I mean, Trevor Bauer, Josh Tomlin, they were 4 and 5 starters this year for the Indians. Danny Salazar, who we saw tonight, was a big. There's another pitcher, I believe, who's on the DL. But the point being that these weren't the go-to horses for the Indians, even throughout the season. Tough place to pitch if you're Josh Tomlin coming to Wrigley Field for Game 3. That's my point.
Yep, let's go. I mean, he's a 4.40 ERA, 13-9. His numbers are a little bit better than Bauer's. And I'm watching Trevor Bauer tonight. Yeah. Let's see that again. When can you be back on the mound? Bring it on, buddy.
Mark Garman, Andy Mazur, Adam Hogue in studio. True Blue Playoff Plus, brought to you by Wintrust Home of Cubs Checking and Sloan Water Connects Us. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and continue the post game for the win. Game 2 in Cleveland. Stay with us.
Wintrust, home of Cubs checking on 720 WGN.
Justin Kaufman in studio with Mark Carmen, Andy Mazur, Adam Hoge. We're breaking down the Game 2 win, World Series victory for the Chicago Cubs. Good to get on the board to leave Cleveland with a split. They come to Wrigley Field on Friday. I mean, just going to be rocking. I mean, it's amazing already, all the stories outside of baseball that are happening in Wrigleyville, but amazing.
I'd like to personally thank the Red Eye today, which I've carried with me tonight. On the cover, it says, don't panic. Don't panic. And I've been a guy that has absolutely been panicking.
Really?
And to yeah, I know. Right? You didn't know that right in. So when I saw don't panic, I've carried this with me today. Whenever I've had a moment of panic, I just look at the Red Eye and thank the Chicago Tribune and look at John Lester who's on the cover. It says, take a deep breath, Chicago. Game one was far from perfect, but this World Series is far from over. And we're tied at one.
All right, let's get back to some of the storylines. As you said, one of the biggest stories in not just baseball but in sports, Kyle Schwarber and his performance coming off the DL. I wouldn't even call it a DL. It's like, I'm not even sure what it was. But the idea of coming in and performing at a high level for Game 1 and Game 2, if he is medically cleared to play, does manager Joe Maddon, does he put him in the game and imagine the call Kyle Schwarber when he comes up to bat at Wrigley Field and how people are just going to go crazy when he launches that ball back to the where he launched the last one.
Yeah, up on the board up there. Board,
yeah. Let me be clear. I'm okay either way because the way he is coming cold and hit the ball leads me to believe that he can also be great coming off the bench as a pinch hitter.
Yeah,
you know, come in and get that big hit. And if you want to go defense, that's fine. So for me, there's two different discussions here. If you're not going to play him because of defense, fine. Like, I'm cool with that. But this idea that a doctor needs to clear him by Friday,
yeah, right.
Come on.
I know.
He'll be cleared,
yeah.
Whether they say he's cleared or not. If Joe Maddon wants him in the lineup,
he'll
be cleared. If he wants to keep him out because of defensive reasons, then I completely understand that, too.
Well, let's go through just a little bit of a breakdown here. First inning, there were no balls hit to left field. Second inning, no balls hit to left field. Third inning, swinging, looking, Kipnis flied out to left. That's one ball. I mean, how many balls really is he going to end up playing? In the fourth inning, there was no balls hit to left field in the fourth. Go to the fifth, bottom five. Chris lined out to left. That's two balls. Okay, now let's go to the sixth inning.
That's analysis for you.
Well, I mean, it's
something, all right.
At this point, like, you might as well try to figure out how much. That's what I guarantee you. They're thinking about how many plays realistically is he going to have to make, and what's the chance that? I mean, there's all the variables out there that you can't determine if it's going to be a rip shot, if it's going to be an easy fly ball, what's he capable of doing. He's probably going to get his hands on 5 to 7 balls, I think, on average. That would be my guess, right?
Okay, just from having knee surgery myself, the thing about what I would worry about with him is footwork on going back on a baseball. Coming in is not going to be an issue because you're just running straight in.
Yeah, right.
Turning and going back on a ball is where I would worry. That's just because you're pivoting in that grass out there at Wrigley. And he's not an experienced outfielder. Sometimes you take the wrong route, you're going to have to plant and quickly turn. That's the only thing I could see that there would be an issue with.
The other side of it, too, is you hopefully think you're going to score a bunch of runs.
Well, yeah, that too. I mean, that would help. That would help a lot because then you can get him out.
Yeah, you can replace him defensively.
Right. So you're looking for thunder and then see you later.
But he's a threat. He's a threat now that he's active.
All right. So you guys are going to be with us till midnight tonight. Andy Mazur, Adam Hoge, Mark Carmen. It is True Blue Playoff Plus presented by Wintrust, home of Cubs Checking, and Sloan Water Connects Us. We'll take a break. We'll get an update from Rob Martier in the news, and we'll continue with True Blue. Stay with us.
Thank you, Rob. We'll go right out to Cleveland right now. Kyle Schwarber's at the podium.
Really big advantage count for me. He has to throw a strike. So, you know, I thought if he just put it over the plate and I put a good swing on it, a good thing will happen, and, you know, there we go.
And over here in the left aisle, far left aisle.
Hi, Kyle. Mark Carmen,
Kyle,
the best.
I mean, when you stop and look at this, you know, 3 of 7, you were just the wind away from going yard yesterday. What do you think about your performances so far these two games?
You know, I'm just trying to put in team at bats right now. You know, I want to help this team get to the ultimate goal. You know, that's why I did all of this, was for these guys in the clubhouse and for our organization. It wasn't for me. So, you know, like I said, I just want to put in good team at bats every time and, you know, take that result.
And over on the right aisle, Buster.
Kyle, you made your case last week after you got cleared by the doctors to try to play in the World Series. As you go into games 3, 4, and 5, will you make a similar type case to the front office, to the doctors, about trying to play in the outfield?
We'll see where it goes. Nothing set in stone. No one's told me anything. So as of right now, the story's still the same.
And again, on the right and the center, Tyler.
Kyle, when the Cubs drafted you, they were just about ready to kind of make their move into contention, and last year they did. What was it about? What were your impressions of them, and why do you think you and the organization kind of connect as well as you do?
I remember when I was in college, I had a meeting with Theo and Jason McLeod when we went to Arizona for a tournament, and they sat down and they interviewed me, and it just kind of clicked. It was just like, we had the same beliefs in baseball terms. It's all about winning. So that's the only thing that matters at the end of the day, is making sure that we get a win and, just go from there.
And to the right in the front.
Kyle, do you think you're ready physically to play defense?
We'll see. I haven't tried it, so we'll take it day by day, like I said.
Is your plan to do it tomorrow during the workout to try?
I don't know. I don't know yet.
And right here in front to the left.
Kyle, again, another one of those questions, not
real
to be
Chicago
disrespectful,
Bears action going on here.
21, but when you struck out that time, then you look back toward the umpire after tracking all those balls in Arizona and getting your at-bats here and in the games down there. Do you feel that locked in and that your eye is that good?
I'm not perfect. I went back and looked at it. It was paint. It was just, maybe a centimeter off the plate. But, it's a pitcher's pitch. Could have gone anyway. But, he decided to take the pitcher's side, which is fine.
And on the right aisle?
Kyle, I think it was after your first hit that cameras caught you saying something to your teammates back in the dugout. What's the excitement level like once you do that, and once you kind of realize what you were doing?
Obviously, a lot of excitement. There was a lot of emotion there. Obviously, 1,000 things running through my head. Just, I really don't remember that moment. It was that crazy for me going in my head. I'm still baffled about it. It was a good moment for me.
And again, to the right in the center.
Kyle, when you were headed back here, did you kind of look ahead and envision how your return might go? And if so, what did you envision, and how does this compare?
Definitely. You want to visualize what it's going to be like when you come back, so you're not thrown off by what happens when you're there. You want to put yourself in good situations in your head, and then hopefully they play out in the field. And then visualization is a very powerful tool, and I believe in that. So, like I said, I like it.
And again on the right, Jason.
Kyle.
Vision striking out.
Kyle Hendricks said the other day that when he was pitching that game at Wrigley, it almost didn't seem real. It felt like almost like someone else was doing it. What you're doing in the World Series, does it feel like it's really happening? Does it feel like an out of body experience?
I mean, I'm just going out there competing, man. I'm gonna lay it on the line every day, and I'll take that result.
And here on the left aisle, Adam.
Kyle, your green wristband stands out on TV. Is there a story behind that you can share?
Yeah. Campbell Faulkner, he's a kid that I met down in Arizona. He's got a rare genetic disease. And I met him my first spring training. Really young, smart kid. And he's always got a big smile on his face. And, that draws your attention to him. He's living life to his fullest, even though he's got something to overcome. And, we've grown a relationship over the last 2 years. And I actually got to see him down when I was in Mesa playing in the AFL, and it was great to see him. And, we stay in contact through email. He's a smart kid, man. The kid's, I think, got an IQ of like a college kid for being so young. It just tells you how smart he is, and that's a person that you want to look up to right there.
We'll take two last ones for Kyle. They've got to get on the road. Over here on the right, standing. Oh. All right, Bob.
Hey, Kyle, when you first injured your knee, then had the surgery, the whole time when you were working out, were you thinking, even though everybody's saying season-ending injury, I want to be back by the postseason?
I don't know, man. I just took it day by day. You know, I wanted to dominate the day. You know, it was just a constant grind, and there was days that I just wasn't feeling it. And like I said, my teammates picked me up, and I had some guys just come over and say to me, oh, World Series, you're going to be back, things like that. I'll just laugh it off. And then when it came to reality, it was a shock.
Wow.
And standing on the right?
Kyle, what's the hardest thing you think about this challenge for you now that you're going through it? And also just mentally, how are you able to, like, you know, not show any doubt, it seems like, or even anxiety when a lot of people, I feel like, in your position would?
Hey, man, I'm living the dream. You know, we're playing the World Series. What else can you ask for? I'm just going to keep riding the wave till it ends.
My man.
As Kyle Schwarber in Cleveland after the Cubs win 5-1, even the series up at 1. Kyle Schwarber 2-for-4 tonight with an RBI single and a walk to go with that as well.
How about the fact that guys were coming up to him in the dugout or whatever in the clubhouse saying, yo, hang in there, buddy. You're going to be back for the World Series.
All right. That
just really got me excited.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Kyle, for finally admitting that, because this whole idea that it came out of nowhere next week is complete BS.
Well, he didn't know he was going to get back to this point.
Fine. And Joe can say, well, he didn't know a week ago. But for him to be like, for him to say he didn't know if he would have him for the World Series, fine. But the fact that it wasn't even in there. Well, you know, stream of thought. We had a doctor on. I mentioned this a couple days ago. We had a doctor on, Dr. Neil Gadadra, who's a sports orthopedic surgeon, who we go to all the time. There's a major injury. We talk to him about Derrick Rose a million times, Patrick Kane, Kevin White. We do this all the time. So Kyle Schwarber gets hurt. We have him on that weekend, and he goes, he could be back for the World Series. So if this random doctor in L.A., who's, by the way, spot on most of the time, that's why we have him on our show here on WGN. But if he can bring it up, like, 2 days after the injury happens. You're trying to tell me the Cubs weren't thinking about this the entire season?
Fine. They were thinking about it the whole way.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Great. Whatever.
It's ridiculous.
It's fine. No, you are not allowed to throw any cold water on the Kyle Schwarber experience, which is, the man is Schwar God.
He's living the dream.
He is living the dream, which is so beautiful. And listen, you got to give him credit, though. He clearly worked his behind off to get to this point in time. He didn't just fall out of bed.
Oh, nothing was guaranteed.
Well, I was going to say, a doctor could say he's going to be back, but until he works and actually heals, and then maybe they didn't know right away because you don't know how the rehab was going.
And that was best case scenario the whole time.
Absolutely.
I mean, it was far from a guarantee, but the point is, if one random guest on the beat on WGN Radio, no disrespect to our own show, can bring this up 2 days after the injury, the Cubs had this plan the whole time. I'm not going to believe otherwise. Did they know it was really going to happen? No. He had to put the work in. Mm-hmm. He needed the knee to react a certain way, because sometimes you have setbacks, and any kind of setback probably would have prevented. This is probably why they're being so careful right now.
See Derrick Rose.
Well, and then, okay, that's the most
important. And mentality
exactly.
More than anything.
Yep.
Okay, that's the most important thing, though, that's going on right now, because he's been asked, are you going to play in Game 3? And he just told you, I haven't tried it.
Mm-hmm.
He's done no work in the outfield. And it wasn't like, I mean, I was expecting to hear him say something like, well, I really hope so. We'll see. You know, I've been working at it. But he hasn't done that at all. So from that press conference, what I heard there, I don't think he's going
to
be playing.
But he had to put all his efforts into hitting, because he knew he was going to be the DH in these first two games. So why waste time fielding balls in Arizona last week?
That's fine. But he's still, listen, if he felt like he could have, there was a chance of playing the outfield too, I would have thought he would already have been out there doing it if he was that far along in his rehab. Clearly, he's not that far along. Again, I hope he's out there. I hope he catches everything that's hit his way, all that. But if I had to bet, Mark Carmen here on 720 WGN True Blue Playoff Plus, I'm going to say he's not. I think he'll pinch hit, but I don't think he's going to be in the outfield.
I think he plays.
Andy?
Let's see what happens in the workout tomorrow.
Yeah, well, that's going to determine.
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, if he's able to get out there, I mean, but the track's going to be a little wet, probably.
No, Mason, we're pinning you down right now. Yes or no?
He's not playing.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Hey,
Joe already texted me. He's in the lineup.
If he has a great workout to tomorrow.
Is that Mark's problem with Madden? He's texting you and I.
Let me tell you my problem with Madden.
No, we got a break. You save it for after the break. We're going to rev up the engines. We're going to start the show that we wanted to with some upbeat, positive music. and we're going to jam out, and then we're going to have you bring us back down with your complaint about the best manager in baseball.
You won't mind my disappointment here. And hey, by the way, we're here for you, 312-981-7200. You want to call in and celebrate and talk about how you panicked all day, but now you feel your life is much, much better.
Don't panic.
Please do it, 312-981-7200.
Join Chicago Tribune in publicly recognizing the most dynamic and supportive companies in Chicagoland at the 7th Annual Top Workplaces event November 10th at Soldier Field. Visit topworkplaceschicago.com for tickets. This is True Blue Playoff Plus on 720 WGN.
Really doesn't affect the way you continue to approach that lineup, and especially with a five-run lead. I wanted to stay aggressive and continue to allow these guys to put the ball in play. On quality pitches in the bottom of the strike zone.
Arrieta, Jacob Arrieta, Arrieta, he's my favorite Cub. Doesn't give up many hits, enjoys a hot dog and some Schlitz. Many hits, have a Schlitz, perfect game, Hall of Fame. Oh, Arrieta, Jacob Arrieta, Arrieta, he's my favorite Cub. Give him his Cy Young Award, Martin Milner, Kent McCord, Young Award, Kent McCord. Many hits, have a Schlitz, perfect game, Hall of Fame. Oh, Arrieta, Jacob
Bill
Arrieta.
Bill Leff, I love you.
Arrieta,
I've heard this song, though, Cub. And that song will go on for another 200,000 minutes.
Great song. Love
if,
awesome.
If you don't jump in and stop it.
I love you, Bill Leff.
That is go, Bill Leff and his Jake Arrieta song.
Cubs win.
Which
Cubs
I believe is from last year when they were in the playoffs. And good to have back. Jake Arrieta pitched well tonight, guys.
He did.
Cubs beat the Indians 5-1. They're tied up at 1 in the World Series. Coming home Friday, Wrigley Field.
And Carm's happy again. He's fine. This is True Blue Playoff Plus. Adam Hogue, Andy Mazur, Mark Kerman. My father texted me and reminded me that I was bipolar socks though, in September before the playoffs when they nearly blew it, which, of course, I've told the story before. I actually popped my lung.
We don't need
to get into that again. But you're right.
If you're not a bipolar fan, you're not a baseball fan. You're not doing it right.
I hope you know that I'm having fun with you through all this.
Oh, good.
I'm not.
Don't blame you at all for the way you're acting. It is fun to watch, and you know how much I want them to win for you. And it is, if we replayed last night's show
compared to
this night, it is hilarious. And I hope our listeners that have been listening to us every night on True Blue Playoff Plus enjoy it too, because you are two different people.
See, the thing for me is that you're doing it so that I don't have to do it. So thank you for that.
Well, see, and that's fine. I can bring the energy, which is why, and I'm not.
You're like the Tony Kornheiser of the Monday Night Football broadcast.
I don't want to remotely compare myself to anybody who's ever done anything remotely, but like Ron Santo.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Hey, Ward on his sleeve.
When it was going well, it was the greatest thing ever, and when it wasn't, he was under the table.
Yes.
You could tune in a game midway through in the fifth or sixth inning, if you didn't hear Ron or you heard the jeez, you knew what was going on.
Right. So, I mean, come on. That's the beauty of baseball. 312-981-7200. Let's ride this wave. Kevin, you live in Texas, but you grew up here, and you're calling WGN because you love the Cubs. Is the phone line up?
Adam. Story short, we in high school, freshman, sophomore, junior year, when I went to John Hersey, cut school to go to the home opener, and our senior year, we were told if we got caught, we would not graduate, have to go to summer school. So we faked a fight, and it's an automatic 3-game suspension. And by the time they figured out what they had done the next morning, we were already at the ballpark.
Wait. How old were you?
Banks that day.
Oh, wait a second. Hold on. Rewind. How old were you when you had this fight? It's a fake fight.
I was 17.
And you were going to what game?
The Cubs home opener.
Nice,
love it.
I thought it was a playoff game. He just wanted to do it for the home opener. Kevin
couldn't miss it. Hadn't missed one for 3 years.
Hey Kevin, what will it mean to you on Sunday night when they win Game 5 and win 4 in a row and the Cubs are World Series champions? What will it mean?
Pretty much everything I could possibly imagine. I lived through the Black Cat game, the Bartman game. Everything just seemed it was never going to happen in my lifetime, and now hopefully it will.
My man, that's beautiful. Kevin, you call on Sunday night. We're going to hug you through the phone.
All right. Send me a beef sandwich, would you?
Hey.
Can't get them down here.
You got it. Beef sandwich thanks, on the way.
Have a good evening.
You got it. Kevin wants a beef sandwich.
Are we, like, making the beef sandwich, or?
No, we'll go over to Portillo's, get it done. Bone of beef.
You know, it's funny that he said that, too, because 1984, first game of the playoffs, day game, if you remember correctly.
I remember it.
Because there was no lights at Wrigley Field at that time. I was in high school, I was a senior in high school.
They rolled the TV in?
No. My mom and my best friend's mom each called the attendance office because I had a orthodontist appointment.
Oh, that's good parenting.
I signed myself out, and the lady behind the little glass there at the attendance office said, enjoy the game.
Oh, that's a great woman. Love her, too. 84, they rolled the TV into the cafeteria at,
nice.
at Edgewood Junior High School, and we watched the Cub game. And it started at 1:20,
yeah.
That they won 13-0, and Rick Sutcliffe hit a home run, and they were going to win the World Series, and then they didn't.
Correct.
Henry Cotto caught the final out of Game 2. And then you also watched Garvey hit a bomb over him in Game 4. Cotto climbed the wall. Danny Gottlieb, one of my good friends at the time, was crying in his soup. But now...
What kind of soup?
Matzo ball soup. We lived in... Come
just
on.
Wanna,
come
just
on.
Want to make sure.
Edgewood Junior High. Yeah. Come on.
I know. I got you.
Let's go.
I knew what kind of soup it was.
312-981-7200. I mean, it might have been a crap block, but it was one of the two. It was no mushroom barley.
By the way, my dad's mad at me, too.
Why? Why is
because
Richard Hogue mad?
I think he's a little offended that I said I might consider $16,000
For the ticket?
For the Game 2 World Series memories.
I have no problem with anybody who's selling tickets. None.
Because what he did was he had a ticket for Game 7, too, that he traded to get a second Game 2 ticket so that we could go together.
Mm-hmm.
And we ended up having...
The greatest day ever?
The greatest night of our lives together.
Well, that's a little uncomfortable for you.
And then I go on the radio and I said, $16,000?
I didn't think about that.
Yeah. Yeah. I texted him.
That's
I said,
okay.
Dad, you know, it's radio. I'm just trying to bring the other side of it. And by the way... Those tickets definitely were not worth $16,000 on the south side. More like $1,600, probably. They were good seats, though.
I have been watching the market intently. Cheapest seat to get into Wrigley, if you're wondering, for Game 3, $2,190 for a standing room. Earlier today, it was down to $1,500.
So it's back up. Since the game ended.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they bought them up, baby. And what's going, we talked about this last time, but what's going is the cheapest tickets. People are not paying the huge money for the club boxes and the field boxes.
So will those come back down?
They have come back down. If you are a rich person.
What's the cheapest seat, like physical seat?
Cheapest physical seat right now is 536, which is upper corner right field, for $2,200, which is $10 more than a standing room ticket.
I'll take the seat. It's probably a single seat, though?
And actually, there's a great... Well, I'm just looking at here. There's some decent values in that $3,000 range. If you have $3,000 to spend, $6,000 to spend, taking two people, congratulations on that. there's some stuff to be had out there. We'll see. It'll be interesting to see what happens as we near game time on Friday.
Do we want to hear a little bit of Jake Arrieta before
yes,
we go to break?
Please.
Sorry.
Yes, we do.
That's on me. I stalled a little bit too long. Here's Jake Arrieta, the Cubs starting pitcher and winning pitcher tonight.
Jake, you started off a little rocky, and then you got it back. How did you turn it around?
Well, I think really controlling my effort is when I was able to get locked in. Kind of had my foot on the gas a little too much at the start, tried to do more than I needed to. And then I really got back to just executing good pitches towards the bottom of the strike zone. With the cutter going one way and the sinker going the other way, trying to be as aggressive as I could and allow those guys to put the ball in play and let the defense work. I was able to get some strikeouts because of the aggressiveness and not trying to overthrow. I think at least one of the walks in the first was kind of pretty much due to that, being a little overly amped up and trying to do more than I had to. But after that inning, I was able to kind of settle down and pitch well from that point on. And then in the sixth, I think that, maintaining a consistent feel and a night like this with the weather the way it was can be tough. So I tried to keep the body warm and ready to go the best I could. But our bullpen came in and did a tremendous job. Mike was excellent, as he has been for us the latter part of the season, and obviously with Chapman coming in, getting four outs, to seal the victory for us was really big.
And over to the right again, Buster.
Jake, you mentioned the conditions. How did they affect your choices, and how would you compare tonight to that game two you started in Citi Field last year?
Pretty similar, I would say. I think the temperature was probably close to what it was at Citi Field. I think keeping keeping my hand as warm as I could in between innings to not lose feel on the fingertips because, you know, for a start or not even just a starting pitcher, but for a pitcher, you want to have that consistent feel off your fingertips, especially on your breaking ball, to maintain consistency, you know, with how you execute those pitches. So, you know, getting on the bike in between innings in the weight room or just continuously moving around to stay loose and stay hot was really what I tried to do throughout the night.
Do we have another couple questions for Jake? Right here in the front. To the left. Wait for the microphone, please.
Were you aware that you had a no-hitter going, or was it even something that crossed your mind?
Yeah, I knew that I hadn't given up a hit, you know, all the way to the sixth. Was it through five and a third? But that's really not the focus in a game like this. You want to just try and continue to pile up outs as often as you possibly can. And whether they get a hit or not really doesn't affect the way you continue to approach that lineup. And especially with, you know, a five-run lead, I wanted to stay aggressive and continue to allow these guys to put the ball in play on quality pitches in the bottom of the strike zone. So, you know, that was a mindset throughout, regardless of whether I gave up a hit or not.
You will wait for that microphone.
Jake Arrieta. Yeah, you will.
You will wait for it. All right, we'll take a time out. Kevin Powell is at Progressive Field. We'll check in with him, get the rest of the post-game reaction from the victorious Cubs. They win 5-1. Easy peasy, Carm. That's what we told you it would be. Series now tied at 1. This is 720 WG. Wind's blowing out, wind's
blowing in. Whichever way it's Let's give away one of those bats after midnight, by the way. I have one to give away. We have a big-time bat to give away.
Ooh.
On our first win of the World Series, tonight's the night to give away one of those bats.
You're so big-time.
So stay tuned after midnight. I'm pretty late with you guys, by the way.
Yeah.
Patty's here.
Patty looks good.
I brought donuts. That's all you need to know.
Pigtail look tonight. Cub
donuts
hat.
Donuts did no chance.
That's what we were missing last night were the donuts. That's why the Cubs lost.
I asked if I needed to bring anything. Carm said no
but you
for
asked the
all
wrong
of
guy,
you.
Yeah.
I know. I apologize.
Carm is the reason why the Cubs lost game one.
Carm was looking out for you, Patty. Just know that.
I will always bring snacks.
I know you will. So you know. I know you will. You're a very kind person.
Speaking of snacks. People who like to eat food, Kevin Powell.
What a segue.
That's the best one I've ever had.
Awesome.
I had a delicious bratwurst at the park today and a pretzel with some cheese dip. It was phenomenal.
Did the pork chop situation get cleared up?
I did not see any pork chop situation tonight.
All right.
I wasn't exactly sure what they were eating. Sorry, I failed to report on that tonight, fellas. But yeah, the pork chops last night, I'm still craving them. I think my first meal back home will be a delicious bone-in pork chop.
So, Kevin, for people that might go to Game 6 or 7 for the clincher, which probably won't happen, what would you recommend for the food at Progressive?
Oh, there's a whole menu I haven't even touched yet. They got this sandwich where it'll come with like a sliced pulled sausage in half, but they turn it into a sandwich, and they top it with pierogies. So it's like, I don't even know if I could take down the whole thing. I mean, I have to get a to-go bag from the stadium because it's bread, your pierogi, carb overload right there. And then you get your high-quality encased meat in the kielbasa.
Wow. That's so you're rooting for a game six is what I understand. All right. Let's let's bring it back to game two here. And yeah. I think the big story after the game is Kyle Schwarber and what's going to happen here. What's the vibe that you get in terms of whether or not he'll be cleared and part B, whether or not Joe Maddon will want to put him out there in the outfield given that his defense is sort of a liability?
Well, it's sort of funny. People on Twitter were joking that as he was collecting these hits tonight that the medical staff was already leaning towards approving him playing defense. So I'm sure after they saw the at-bats tonight that I don't think the whole medical clearing thing is going to be such an issue. Joe Maddon sort of refused to budge on whether or not he was asked about what's he looking for. He said it's up to the medical staff. We'll see. Tomorrow they have a mandatory workout at Wrigley. He's likely going to shag some balls out in the outfield and see how it goes, and they'll test the knee after. So that's what they continue to say. I mean, it's hard to keep him out of this lineup. Obviously, they're going to be a little bit cautious, but to not give that guy as many bats as possible will be a bit surprising to me. If I had to guess, I would say he will be cleared to play defensively, and maybe they stick him out in right field. That's my guess towards it, but they were pretty vague on it today. They didn't want to give away too much, which is understandable. But he'll be at Wrigley tomorrow. He'll be out in the outfield sort of testing the knee out And if all goes well, I expect to see him in the lineup for Game 3.
Any well, and he'll, if he does go, I would assume he'd play left, and they would move Zobrist over to right. Kevin, I'm just curious. Have you seen him take BP? Does he look even better in BP than he does at the plate? Because I mean, he looks phenomenal at the plate. I wonder if he's hitting bombs all, you know, warm up session as well.
Yeah, I saw him take a little bit. He looks fine. I mean, everything looks smooth. Even his at bats in the fall league, from what you saw online, he looks fine. He looks comfortable. Everything looks okay. He's crushing the ball in BP. Everything he's hit so far has been hard, solid contact.
You know you should be best friends with him, Kevin. You two are very similar. You know this, right?
I know. I was walking out of the press there, and I was kind of walking by him. I'm like, this guy just want to hang out with him. Maybe drink a beer, have one of those pierogi sandwiches I was talking about. But the guy's a workhorse. They continue to tell you. Jake Arrieta is applauding his work ethic and talking about how Schwarber's in a constant sweat for 6 hours, you know, throughout the season and his rehab and the way the guy works out. He's a monster. He's a thick dude. And you appreciate that. And when Jake Arrieta is talking about that, you know you're doing something right in terms of working out and getting your reps in. So, yeah, he's a cool dude, though. I like Kyle Schwarber. I'm a fan. And he's, and Jake Arrieta said he's sort of speechless watching what Schwarber's doing. And I think all of us are. And it's absolutely, to me, the story of this World Series, other than the obvious.
All right, Kev, appreciate your coverage out there in Cleveland tonight. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, guys. Thanks. I'll see you.
All right, Kevin Powell in Cleveland. We'll take our final timeout here. True Blue Playoff Plus on 720 WGN.
Rich Lankoff, Jason Whiteside, the two sides of the legal face-off.
Pop culture, entertainment, sports, politics. When athletes have concussions, when billionaires are going through a divorce, they hire lawyers. And on Legal Face-Off, we're going to give you the explanation of that and also do it in a light way, in a fun way.
Legal Face-Off, the show that features two competing attorneys slugging it out over today's hottest topics.
And I think having the legal background that we do, having the legal education that we do, allows us to cut through.
Download the podcast now at WGN+.com.
Check out Buffalo Grove Theater and escape from the daily grind. Buffalo Grove Theater offers brand new movies at affordable prices. For the first time, the Buffalo Grove Theater will proudly be hosting the classically terrifying Exorcist. Come and relive all the thrills, chills, and pea soup spills on the big screen this Halloween with shows starting on October 28th. Visit bgtheater.com for all show times and details.
Do you know a superstar kid doing great things? Nominate them for the Steve Cochran Kid of the Week, and they'll qualify for a $5,000 cash prize, courtesy of Ray Chevrolet in Fox Lake and Raymond Chevrolet in Antioch. Details at wgnradio.com/contests.
You want a good stat courtesy of Potsy, Mark Potash?
I love Mark Potash.
He's Cubs won three straight games at home versus nine different teams in the regular season this year. That includes the Nationals, Marlins, and Pirates twice.
No problem. Cubs in five, win on Sunday. I'm down. You want a great quote from Dexter Fowler to Mark Gonzalez of the Chicago Tribune?
Sure.
Hey, Dexter, do you know that you just won your first World Series game the Cubs did since 1945? Fowler's response, y'all talk history, we're just trying to make it. Bam.
Boom.
Walk bam.
Off. Drop the mic and walk away.
Y'all talk history. We're just trying to make it. Okay. Okay, Dexter Fowler. You can help by making. You can help make history by getting just a couple more hits. Just a couple more.
Couple more,
Dex.
You're greedy.
Hey, you got one in the seventh? Come on. Yeah.
Patty.
I'm sorry. I'm just messaging Alan Ruck, who was at the game tonight in Cleveland. Alan Ruck, who played Cameron.
My Cameron go.
That's the one from Ferris Bueller's Day.
You're messaging Cameron right now?
Yes, I am.
That's the most amazing
thing
I've
ever heard. He was in Cleveland. He was born in Cleveland and then grew up in Chicago.
And he wore the Gordie Howe shirt, the sweater, the Detroit Red Wings sweater in the movie.
Is Alan Ruck going to be on the show today?
I'm trying to get him on the show. I was trying to go through all the celebrities that I know that were in the stands. By the way, we can talk about this after midnight, but they're like celebrity dugout. Did you see their dugout that goes all the way around home plate?
Yeah, yeah.
Are there other parks in that have that? That's great. I love that idea. Just sink another set of seats back there. Anyway, what were we talking about? My show?
I feel like it'd be weird to be like below the field, though.
Angel Stadium has that, too.
Yeah,
like being in the dugout, that's all.
Yeah.
They're going to be doing something behind home plate coming up for the Cubs, and they're going to be ruining the experience for the people that have sat there for years. But that's
why would they like Pink Hat Guy? He's gonna be mad.
Pink Hat Guy is enraged.
They're going.
Is he,
they're going,
is he really?
Yes,
they're going
he is.
Scout seats, right?
They're going scout seats behind home plate. They're going to be $425 tickets.
Put another dugout back there. Like
that happened to us. We used to be in the third row.
Yeah.
We got moved back to the 18th now behind because now we're the third row behind the scout seats over at
and,
the
cell. And by we, it's the sports guys. What?
Oh no! My dad's season tickets.
I wasn't sure.
Sorry.
It's very personal. I wasn't sure.
Yeah. No.
Oh, he got bumped.
Yeah, seats are about $100 a ticket now. A little bit more than that, but they're going to go four times as much, and you can go and have prime rib and vodkas and whatever else you want. I'm sure there'll be peanuts down there too, and you get to park, and it'll only cost you $425 a ticket, which is $1,700 for four. If you times that by 80 games. You're talking about $140,000 some odd dollars, something like that.
You're right.
I don't make that much money in a year myself. I don't know how you guys are doing.
That or a golf club membership. I don't know.
Yeah.
These seem to be like the things that are priced out of.
It's so outrageous how much it costs to go to a game these days.
Well, I mean, you don't have to sit in the front row with all
I know.
The
But
all
even
the
if you just want to like take your kid to a game in the outfield,
well,
you're dropping $150. By the time the night's over.
Well, hold on. Sox tickets are like $7.
Yeah, but we don't have to get into this. You know my thoughts on the concessions. That's where they get you.
Oh, okay.
There's always the Kane County Cougars.
There you go.
I like it.
Rob, great job today.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you for your help today, Rob.
You're welcome.